This incredible sculpture I have seen. Josh Nelson joins us for film.
Good afternoon.
Ah, oh, Josh.
Michelangelo, all this talk about Ninja Turtles. It's great. As someone who's named after one.
I've heard that joke so
but I'm
oh, my Lord. So, I want you to put your thinking caps on. We often like a little bit of talk back when it comes to the film section here with Josh on Friday afternoons. We're going to play you this, see if you can pick what the movie, the talk back topic is today. So, is it Josh Nelson's favourite workout music? No. No, it is today. Josh, what is the topic?
Best film soundtracks. And that song, of course, was from Wayne's World when Wayne carries Garth out of the burning building.
Yeah, The Bodyguard was such a good film.
Yes.
That was just, yeah, it's one of my favourites. One of yours? Kevin Costner always strikes me as someone who has such gravitas. Look, we've got two great films to talk about, but we do want to know from you. I haven't even found, because I haven't seen either of the films Josh has seen. I've no idea why we're talking about soundtrack. I just know they're somehow linked to the two films. I know one of them has got Thor's brother with, what's her wonderful name? Tilda Swinton. As vampires in a Jim Jarmusch film. I'm looking forward to that. But your favourite movie soundtrack, it could be the full orchestral bonanza. It might be the key song at the key moment. Just, you know, dial it up to 11 and tell us your favourite movie soundtrack. 1300-222-774 is the phone number. You can text us as well. 0437-774-774. Done. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, let's get some news headlines with Colin Denovan. Hi there, Colin.
Yes, thank you, Rash? Sorry about that. Scratch that, man.
On 774 ABC Melbourne, you're listening to Raphael Epstein. Call now on 1300 222 774 or text 0437 774 774. You're with Raph.
Oh, the texts are coming in thick and fast. If it was like a, if it was a mailbox on the other side of a door, it'd be overflowing. You know that scene in the movie? I can't get to them all. But look, I want to tell you why we're talking about soundtracks first. Josh Nelson is with us. Filmology.com with a PH is his blog. Josh, the Tilda Swinton, Tom Huddleston film, Vampires, Jim Jarmusch, called again?
Only Lovers Left Alive.
Okay. What's it like? How good is it? And why the soundtrack?
Okay, A, B, and C. It's a really great film. It is about vampires. It's set in, well, sort of a contemporary era in Detroit, Michigan. We have Tom Hiddleston, who's living there. He's a musician. He's a vampire. He's been living for 300, 400, 500 years. Mm-hmm. And he's pretty depressed and to the point of suicide. So he calls up Tilda Swinton, his partner, who's living in Tangiers for the time being,
right,
with friends with another vampire, John Hurt. Right. And their names of the two characters are Adam and Eve, which is quite nice, and says, look, I'm going through a rough patch. You need to come to Detroit right to cheer me up. You're my muse.
Actually, we've got a little bit of the film. Have a listen.
1868, my third wedding. You look so young.
You're marrying out to that suicidally romantic scoundrel.
Well, let's hope he's just romantic.
You being so reclusive in everything is probably only going to make people more interested in your music.
Yeah. What a drag.
I'm loving it just from the sound of it. This is offbeat art house vampires.
Yeah, this is very much in the groove of 90s independent cinema, that right sort of slow burn. Mm. I described this this film on another station as the warm blanket you wrap yourself up in a dark cinema for 2 hours and right don't want to leave.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's a slow burn film, but, you know, the performances of Tilda Swinton, who I can't believe has never been cast as a vampire
yeah,
before.
Right.
Look at that skin. I mean, really. And Tom Hiddleston are really remarkable. And, you know, you buy from the get-go, before they're even together on screen at the same mm time, that they are partners who've been together for hundreds and hundreds of years. And it has this kind of grungy feel. And what I like about this as a vampire film is a kind of contrast to the sort of the True Blood, the Twilight. I mean, this is atmospheric. This is much more in the vein of, say, Tony Scott's The Hunger, you know, world in decay. How do vampires live for this long without suffering depression?
I'm kind of thinking it's got a real Hal Hartley script kind of feel to it as well. Have I got that right or wrong?
Yeah, it is in that kind of vein. There's something about the music too, which is incredibly atmospheric, and this is part and parcel of Jarmusch's whole filmography. In fact, most of the score for this film was done by a band called Squirrel, SQURL, of which Jarmusch plays, I think, bass or lead guitar in.
Right.
So, you know, he's sort of got his hand in everything in this film. One of the other interesting things that distinguishes it from other vampires films is it has a bit of an environmental theme. They talk about contamination and the fact it's set in Detroit, Michigan, which just looks like a dilapidated hellhole.
Oh, well, it's a ghost town as well, isn't it? Large parts of it.
It's such a kind of perfect setting for this type of story. So they talk about the earth being contaminated and humans as zombies is the kind of constant refrain they use, but also contamination of blood. And I guess the key conflict in the story, you know, just a slow burn as it is the introduction of Mia Wasikowska,
who plays
Tilda Swinton's sister, who turns up, and she's very much this sort of energetic, precocious, sort of Gen Y-esque vampire who really rubs the Tom Hiddleston, who's the sort of very much reclusive musician, the wrong way. And that's the central thing.
They'll like your music more, and he says, what a pity. Beautiful. Yep. There's so much in that, and then the whole notion of art house.
There's a wonderful moment later where they see someone who's performing in the streets of Tangier, and one of the characters remarks, you know, she's going to be famous, and he says, that's such a shame.
Fantastic. Look, I want to know more about the film, but I want to read out some of your texts as well. I'm loving them. Luc Besson's soundtrack to Subway. Oh, I'm just so with you. Starring Christopher Lambert putting together a band of misfits in the Paris subway. Oh, just such good a film. Betty Blue with Beatrice Dahl. Oh, yes, that's from Les and Elwood. Dead Man, Neil Young, another great, 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 great Jim Jarmusch film. That's a text from Scott. I've got to say, that's probably the last Jim Jarmusch film I saw. It's got to be 20 years old.
Yeah, 95. Yeah. I have a friend, in inverted commas, who may have made fake ID to get into that at the Nova many years ago.
Yes, I have a friend who saw that not in quite their right mind. Raphael, The Good, The Bad and The Ugly. Oh, yeah, I'm just loving every single one of yours. I get the vibe of the film, Josh. Yep. Is it good? Like, is this a film for everyone sort of thing? Do you need to have a particular sort of sensibility?
I think if you go in expecting a slow burn narrative...
It's not Twilight, is it?
No, it's not. It's not an action film. It's a slow burn character film that is just sort of... It feels very much in the vein of those 90s characters and Gen Xers who are sort of cynical about the current state of things, but played through the lens of vampires who are hundreds of years old. And very much...
Does he have a lot to say about, I don't know, culture, movies?
Yeah, it is. There's a number of references. I mean, there's one point, and look, the mise-en-scene of this film, the sort of the dilapidated building that the Hiddleston character is living in, is surrounded by old technology, and he has this sort of fascination with old instruments, and just through touch he can tell what kind of wood the guitar's made from and where it's been produced, and this idea of old technology versus the slick, modern kind of shiny surfaces, which he's clearly kind of, positioned against in some way, and I guess it's that question that sort of prompts his suicidal tendencies is, what is it about contemporary culture that he has any connection with, and why would he want to stick around for it and holding on to this past?
Yeah, vampires are a great way to look at that cultural conundrum.
It's perfect. And yeah, it is. It's a wonderful film. It's a film that I just didn't want to leave. You know, when you're in the cinema and you're like, I love this world so much, I hope the film doesn't end. Yeah, this is one to be rewatched over and over. It's probably his best film since Dead Man, too, Jarmusch.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a big call.
And it's only showing, I'm afraid, at Cinema Nova in Carlton. Limited release. I don't know how...
Hipsters in Carlton.
Yeah, one cinema for actors of those qualities. You'd think Tom Hiddleston is pretty bankable.
Yeah, you would.
And Jarmusch
so,
has got a cult following. No. Really strange decision.
Graham's called from Q. Hi there, Graham.
Rash, Josh, forever known as Rash. How are you?
You see, he did... The Bodyguard and that track discombobulates even the ever calm Colin Denneman, Graham.
I've never heard him discombobulated before.
Oh, we try our best.
Dust Boot.
Yes, the submarine film.
Yes.
But I don't remember the music.
Oh, it's epically stirring. It's like the boat and the music are characters in themselves. It's this incredibly orchestral, huge music that just fills the cinema and just makes every scene more than it would be. It's amazing.
Yeah, okay. But, look, I'm going to rewatch the director's cut of that because I watched that back in 05,
well, it was 97.
Yeah, but 96. Was that when the director's cut came out?
Oh, the director's cut.
Yeah, no, director's cut, because the original's in the 90s, isn't it?
80s.
It's
80s.
Well, it says here the director's cut producer, because I grab the CD.
Right.
And it's 97, so...
Okay,
yeah, so the original must have been the 80s. That makes sense.
Love it. Dust Boat, great suggestion. Luke's called from Northcote. Hi, Luke.
Hi, guys.
What's yours?
Yeah, I just wanted to suggest the original Star Wars trilogy soundtrack.
Let's just all bathe. Turn it up. Go on, turn it up. It's like being in heaven, really, isn't it?
Oh, it's just magnificent. Yeah, I mean, it's got everything, you know. It's, like, funny and romantic, dramatic. It's tense at times. But, like, the best thing about it, I think, is how it's never intrusive, yet it's all so memorable.
That's very true. I love that you can listen to the whole album and you recollect every bit of the film. That's how well interwoven it is.
Absolutely. I despair that nobody around nowadays seems to have that same kind of style that John Williams did. He was just a master of that.
Look, you know, someone will crank one out. Don't worry. the past is always a golden age, but don't worry. The best is still to come.
And, of course, Sunday being May 4th, you can see them at the cinema.
That's right. You can go and see them at the cinema. Or you can just look at the picture of the new cast of Star Wars with all the old actors, all the new ones, and just pray. Get down on your knees and pray that they'll actually produce something decent.
Sacrifice a Jar Jar Binks at the altar of hope.
I spoke to the animator who created him. He was very diplomatic about it. He was the guy who did the Lego film, by the way. The head of the animation for the Lego film created Jar Jar Binks.
We forgive him now.
We do. You're listening to 774 ABC Melbourne. Josh Nelson is with us talking about your favourite film soundtrack. Nige has called from North Fitzroy. Hi, Nige.
Hey, Raph. How are you today?
Very well,
Nige. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. I know, Josh, that you probably go on about the unique blend of menace and melancholy in Bernard Herrmann's Taxi Driver score, but I think, like, the Indian Film Festival, the Bollywood Film Festival's on at the moment, Raph,
yeah,
as you know, and Josh, I'm sure you will too.
Indeed.
And it's just given me cause to revisit the film that I think is the best soundtrack of all time.
Oh, yes?
It's Biren Nag's 1962 Bollywood epic, Vishal Bhat.
Ah!
I mean, who can forget Lata Mangeshkar in the beautifully haunting Kahin Deep Jale Kahin. I mean, it's just beautiful and it stays with you. And really, I mean, you could buy the soundtrack just for that, but then there's Bukhara Kake, Zara Nazon Ke, Sapne Suhani.
You know your Bollywood, Nige.
Well, I've got the album in front of me because I own it on vinyl.
Of course you do, yeah.
I thought you'd have it on 8-track.
Yeah, 8-track.
A little before my time, 8-track, I think.
Sorry.
I'm not quite that old, Josh, you might be. But yeah, so that's my... I'm sure you don't have it in the system there, so you probably can't play a track.
No, I don't think that's in the system. But so if you're into your Bollywood, Nige, Hrithik Roshan in Kahuna Piahe, is that sort of one of your faves?
I mean, if you want to go middle of the road, that's fine. I mean, it's very good, Raph, and I'm sure, you know, it's maybe like a chicken tikka masala, yeah, say, in Indian food. You know, there are a lot spicier Bollywood movies that you can go for. But
I'm going for the Bollywood ones that are like the sort of the bland Aussie version of Indian food, but you're kind of up that high sort of cultured end.
Yes. Well, you said it, Raph.
Okay. Hrithik Roshan's on the market, by the way, apparently. Did you know that? He's divorced.
Oh, right.
I thought, I just, you know, you might want to pass that around to your friends because sure, there's lots of women in your hipster life that might, you know, be in the market for a Bollywood billionaire.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, they prefer arty, poor, Fitzroy types.
Yes. Yeah, he's probably got too many cars to qualify for one of your mates.
Oh, yes. It needs to be a bit more carbon neutral for my friends.
Yeah, I don't think of Bollywood, your average Bollywood star is carbon neutral. Thanks a lot, Nige. Oh, might mean the coulda beans are on after Hillary on Saturdays. Oh, gosh. Hrithik Roshan, but I didn't make that up, by the way. Hrithik Roshan is real.
On 774 ABC Melbourne, you're listening to Raphael Epstein. Call now on 1300 222 774 or text 0437 774 774. You're with Raph.
Yeah, because you can see how stressed we're getting here on Drive. We need to talk about stress at work. Oh, my Lord. Josh Nelson's with us. I want to let the soundtrack theme breathe. We still have another film to get to. A few more of your texts. What about The Dark Knight Rises for a blockbuster that delivers a brilliant soundtrack? Indeed. And my father-in-law turns 100 on May the 4th. May the 4th be with him. That is from Leslie. And who do we choose? I don't know who to choose. I will choose Rod from Newtown. Hi there, Rod.
Hello there. How's things?
Very well. What's your film?
Yeah. Oh, The Third Man. The Harry Lime theme from The Third Man.
Oh, we don't have it. Yes.
That is just so haunting.
I haven't seen it for a very long time, Rod.
Oh, well, I can remember it. I'm pretty old.
I like your suggestion though, Rod. Thank you. And
that's the one with the zither, isn't it?
Yep.
When I went to Vienna and rode the wheel, I hummed it for about 15 minutes straight until my friend wanted to kill me.
It's a book. Dun, 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 isn't it a book first? Dun, dun, dun. I'm sure it's a book.
I'm sure it is a book. Yeah, Graham Greene. Wasn't it?
Yeah, it is, isn't it? That's right. Malcolm's call from Rye. Hi, Malcolm.
How you going, Rash?
What's yours?
Look, you can't go past the soundtrack from Amadeus. The good thing about that is it's all Mozart.
Yes.
But it's all the abbreviated version. So if you haven't got time to listen to things, that's a really good one.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Gold FM version of Amadeus Mozart.
Yes.
Fantastic. Josh, we've got another film to talk about.
We do. It's an Australian film released quite appropriately in time for Anzac Day last Thursday. It's called Canopy. It's from first-time writer-director Aaron Wilson. It's an Australian-Singaporean co-production set in Singapore in 1942 in the midst of World War II.
And in fact, this is another reason to have a discussion about soundtrack.
Indeed.
I think there's only... How many lines of dialogue are there?
Very few.
Yeah, very few. I don't know if there's any dialogue in the trailer. Let's have a listen. Josh, tell me the basic plot. Is it any good?
It is a really impressive film, particularly as a feature debut film made on a shoestring budget. The film begins with a paratrooper who's caught up in the canopy of a tree. He frees himself, finds himself in the Singaporean jungle, and has a chance encounter with a Chinese resistance fighter who doesn't speak English. And together they have to sort of survive the rigors of the jungle while the Japanese troops are, you know, passing them by at every juncture. It really is a film about atmosphere. This is not a war film in the traditional action sense. There's no real structuring mission. There's no sort of play on patriotism or national values or any of that sort of typical stuff we get with either American or some of the previous Australian war films. But what it does do, and what you got a glimpse of orally, at least there, is from a technical perspective, this film is stunning. The soundscape in this film is utterly remarkable, and it really compensates for the lack of dialogue. And I think what Aaron Wilson's really trying to do here, and I think he's playing to the strengths of a low-budget film, is provide a kind of an interior sense of the experience of war within the jungle setting, and try and provide a sort of psychological perspective. We get sort of brief flashbacks at various points or uses of sound which are clearly meant to represent the character's memory sort of pre-war stuff outside of the jungle.
So it's not just the sound of the jungle and the fear and the danger, it's also sounds from their lives back home.
Yeah, there's moments where we get a character sort of stopping and kind of contemplating his existence, and you know, we get the sound of, like, say, a waltz, and which, you know, without even sort of cutting to a flashback, we get the sense that this is a kind of a key memory of something pre-war that he's sort of latching onto. You know, as far as narrative goes, it's as sparse as what I described. There really isn't a lot of action in this film. So I think if you go in expecting a war film, you're going to be sort of led astray and you might become quite frustrated. But from a first-up effort, the film, it looks exquisite. I mean, the obvious comparison to this is Terrence Malick's The Thin Red Line.
Oh, beautiful.
But if you can imagine that without the voiceover. Yeah, I mean, this film really doesn't use kind of dialogue or voiceover to try and get inside the character's head. As far as Australian films go, this is one of those films that you know, or I was aware even halfway through, that this is a director you want to see his next film. You know, in the same way that Justin Kurzel's Snowtown or David Michaud's Animal Kingdom, there's a kind of a spark and an artistic flair that I think you can kind of tell there's something impressive, even though this film, maybe some of it doesn't quite come off, some of it's maybe harnessed by its limitations in terms of budget, but boy, yeah, this is a film that needs to be experienced at the cinema because of the technical mastery.
Okay, fantastic. And when I first saw the title, I thought it had to do with Damien Pera, the famous World War II photographer, but why is it Pera's War? That's the name of one of the characters?
Oh, no, that's I think that's on our list of text for other soundtracks. This is
This is
called Canopy, yes.
What is, I tell you what, let's go to that. I totally confused this too. The Canopy is the film that we were talking about. You're right, Pera's War caught my eye because Robert called in from Eaglemont. Hi, Robert.
Oh, hello. Actually, it's the soundtrack or the music from Paris War, I thought it was, everybody else is using this word tonight, haunting. It was beautiful music, and apparently composed by the Australian-Polish composer who did the music for Red Dog. And
oh, okay. This is a new film, Paris War, isn't it?
Yeah, just last Sunday night it was the premiere. And
oh, it was on the ABC.
Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful music, and I can't remember the composer's name because it is a Polish name and there aren't many vowels. but it was really beautiful, and the way it, particularly at the end where they build up the actual tension and drama of his subsequent death.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, really dramatic, and, you know, I've been searching to get this soundtrack.
Oh, I'm sure the ABC shop will help you with that one, Robert. Look, thank you for that suggestion. I'll have to remember to watch that one on iView. The Polish composer for the Paris War ABC film, Cezary Skubiszewski, perhaps, is how you pronounce the name. Reservoir Dogs, the scene where the ear is cut off. What's that track?
Stuck in the Middle of You, Steeler's Wheel.
I found that one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen on the screen. So many of you nominating the Blues Brothers. Come on, no one's mentioned the original Jungle Book. I'm the King of the Swingers. Yeah. Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Last Tango in Paris. Starman with Jeff Bridges. It was E.T. for adults, and the soundtrack for The Magnificent Seven. There's so many. Oh, I'm sure we just couldn't get to them all. I'm loving your contributions and your input, Josh. The two films were
Canopy, the Australian film on limited release, and Only Lovers Left Alive, which you'll have to go to Cinema Nova.
Jim Jarmusch, beautiful. Josh, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Josh's blog is at filmology.com. It's spelled with a PH.